George Mercer, good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, Daniel.
George Mercer, you've worked as a national park warden in Canada for how many years now?
Well, I actually retired 2 years ago, but I'd worked for national parks for more than 35 years, and most of that time was spent as a park warden working in 6 national parks across the country.
Can you talk about why you decided to become a park warden?
Well, growing up, I was always, I guess the environment was sort of, you know, just becoming sort of the thing when I was a teenager and that. I was always an advocate for parks and protected areas. As a teenager, I was always interested in issues around the environment and issues around wildlife in particular. And then I was actually going to university to be a wildlife biologist, and I ended up getting a job at Terra Nova National Park in Newfoundland just as a gateway attendant. But just living in the park and the bunkhouse and getting exposed to the naturalists and the park wardens and all the staff that worked there, I realized that it was actually quite a good fit for my interest. And, you know, I sort of felt that maybe I don't necessarily get to be a wildlife biologist per se, but I get to work with wildlife. And, yeah, since those early days, I've been lucky enough to work with species like Atlantic salmon, peregrine falcon, American marten in Atlantic Canadian National Parks, and bison and wood buffalo, caribou and jasper, and so on. So it was sort of a good fit for my interest, I would say.
George, you actually worked as a park warden in Cape Breton National Park. When was that?
I was there in the mid-80s, and I was there for a little over 3 years or so then.
How did you enjoy your stay in Chitika?
Oh, well, I just loved Cape Breton. I think partly it was getting away from home, Cape Breton captured my imagination, I think, right from the get-go, and it was sort of funny that I think I told this story a few times. I felt instantly welcomed in Cape Breton. I was called one day by a fellow by the name of Joe Larratt, and he had heard that I was a new warden in town, and he just said, "Do you play hockey?" And I said, "Yes." And then he said, "Well, you're playing hockey with us this winter." So it was sort of like instantaneous acceptance. I made some great friends, enjoyed playing hockey there, but also really enjoyed the Acadian culture, and I was really enthralled by the highlands and the park. And like even today, the coastline around Cheticamp stands out for me as probably one of the most picturesque places I've been in the world. It's just that whole stretch of the coastline looking back from French Mountain towards Cheticamp Island, and that to me, it's just it's iconic. It's known around the world, and it still rings so true for me.
And this new book, Died in the Green, how did that book come about?
Well, it was actually written many years ago, Daniel. We'd left Cape Breton and gone on to 2 other parks actually in the meantime, and but it was always something that I was keen on. It was always a story that I was interested in, but partly it was in response to a book written by Sid Marty called Men for the Mountains. So it was a book about national park wardens, and for a lot of young park wardens, it was sort of a thing that got us into the warden service. It was the thing that sort of got us intrigued about the warden service. But the only thing is that it was about the mountain national parks almost exclusively, and it was called Men for the Mountains, so there wasn't a lot of role for women. And in the meantime, I was sort of keen on, I always said I was going to write the East Coast equivalent to Men for the Mountains. Mm-hmm. And my book is obviously different, but I wanted to try and bring out the challenges faced by park wardens in the East, and I also wanted to try and show the role of both men and women in the warden service. I wouldn't put my writing up there with Sid Marty's. He's an award-winning writer, Canadian author, and mine's more of a fictional story, more of a mystery suspense story. But and now it's in, now that it's out, you know, it's book one in what I hope will be a 6-book series that takes the reader across Canada and introduces them to many of the issues that park wardens and parks in general face in today's world.
For people in Chitika who haven't seen the book yet, can you briefly summarize the story?
Yeah, sure. It's set in Cape Breton. This story, though, is not a regional story. It's not about. It's not just about Cape Breton. I think this story could happen actually anywhere in the world, and it's essentially about Cape Breton Highlands National Park wardens and their battles with poachers.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, people who regularly infiltrate the park, I'll say, come into the park to kill deer, moose, and salmon. And as the book progresses, the stakes get higher for the characters in my story. And I don't want to give away the story or the ending, but basically the story takes a turn for the worse that you know, probably no one could have imagined, and takes the battle between the park wardens and the poachers to another level. So it's you know, it does get a little bit, I'll say, over the top, you know, because it does ramp up sort of the mystery and suspense. But I guess that's part of my angle, is I'm trying to attract readers to stories about national parks and national park wardens, and in a fictional sense, I'm able, I've got, you know, the literary license, I guess, to ramp things up.
George, why was it important for you to write the book?
Well, as I said, I wanted to, I did want to put out an East Coast, sort of an East Coast, although fictional, equivalent to Sid Marty's book. But as much as anything, I really wanted to show the challenges that park wardens in Canada and even around the world face as they try to protect these wild places that we call our national parks. It's not an easy job, and you face all sorts of adversities, including, you know, the pretty basic one is people who really don't care at all about what the park stands for, and they come in, you know, come in and poach the wildlife that the park has set aside to protect.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also, you know, dealing with some attitudes about, you know, the value of parks, people don't share the same attitude about the importance of the park. And even, you know, some of that translates sometimes to dealing with some of the staff and even park management at times. You know, they're probably facing different pressures in that, but sometimes you're pitted against the very management that you think you're there to work for. But the flip side of that is that, you know, the vast majority of people, you know, support the notion of parks. I mean, our national parks get, you know, more than, I think, 25 million people visiting a year. And, you know, I guess, I think overall we're thankful that people had the foresight to set these special places aside.
People in Chitika will definitely enjoy the book. It's set along the world-famous Cabot Trail, and people can really identify with the locations of the story. You talk about Corny Brook, Presqu'île, French Mountain. It's all names that people in Chitika, they know what you're talking about.
Right. You know, excuse me, I really, that's one of the things, I mean, as a writer, it's really important to try and give the reader a sense of place and a sense of the characters. For me, I really wanted to give the story a sense of place.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, because for me, the parks are really all about, you know, special places on this planet. And, you know, I really hope to do that with each of the books in the series, to try and portray an absolutely, one of the, you know, absolutely incredible places we set aside in Canada's national parks. So it was important to speak of real places that I think a lot of people will recognize. And I know it will, I think it will ring true for people in Chetecamp, but also, you know, I hear and know, you know, from working there that the Cabot Trail and Cape Breton are known worldwide, and I'm already hearing from people all over that, you know, they feel like they were back there. They may have been people who just did the Cabot Trail once, or people who spent time around Chetecamp or Inganish or, you know, that part of northern Cape Breton. And, you know, I'm getting the feedback from people that they really feel that they were there, you know, with me in the story. And so many people have said, you know, I've never been there, but now I really want to go there. Or I've been there, and you really captured it again for me.
You write at the beginning of the book that the story never happened. It's a work of fiction, but people in Chitka, some people still view poaching as a part of their way of life. It's a work of fiction, but it could actually be a real story.
Well, it, you know, the story certainly draws from my experiences, you know, working as a warden, but not just in Cape Breton. It's really a composite of, you know, experiences from every park I've worked in. I've pretty well run into the same notion that poaching is a way of life for some people in all of the national parks I worked in. And I think it's fair to say that it's very much a global issue. And in fact, one of the books that I hope to include in the series will deal with, my main character will do an exchange with an African national park ranger and deal with issues of elephant and rhino poaching in Africa. And even today, especially today, actually, many wildlife species in some of those countries in Africa are at the brink of extinction because of the impact of poaching. And while I know that, some people still see it as part of their way of life, I think increasingly it's being eliminated, and I know, like I say, it's still an issue, but I think increasingly more people see the value of protecting wildlife and the habitats that they need rather than destroying them all.
Once again, congratulations on your book, Died in the Green. I read it over the weekend. It's a fantastic book. I encourage everyone in Chetika to get a copy. Your next book is due when?
Well, I'm hoping my next book is called Wood Buffalo, and in the next book, my main character moves to Wood Buffalo National Park and deals with a whole other set of issues around the management of the park's bison herd there. But I'm hoping to try, and my objective is to try and get a book out a year. We'll see. That might be ambitious, but I would really like to get the next book. It's well underway. I'm well into writing it, but I hope to get it out hopefully before next Christmas, but maybe it'll be early in 2016.
Have you been back to Chetika in the last few years?
I haven't been back, actually, for quite a while. My family is from Newfoundland. My parents passed away a few years ago. I haven't been back east for quite a while, but I certainly hope to get back there. And, if things do well, I'll get back as part of a book tour.
George Mercer, thank you very much for taking the time to talk with us today. Great book. Merci beaucoup.
Hey, thanks very much, Danielle.